from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with Matthew Christoph, the founder of the Catholic men's organization Emangelization, about challenges facing men and women to authentically live out their God-given masculinity and femininity. Also, Dan Burke and Peter Kraft discuss Dr. Kraft's new book on St. Thomas Aquinas called Practical Theology. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, executive director of the Register. Thanks so much for joining us. Our first guest, Matthew Christoph, converted to Catholicism in 2006. He founded the New Emangelization Project in 2013 to develop a new ardor, method, and expression of evangelization of men. One way that Matthew has done that is by engaging top Catholic thinkers on the causes and solution for what he calls the Catholic man crisis. Recently, Matthew interviewed Cardinal Raymond Burke about the evangelization of men. That set off a lively discussion in the Catholic blogosphere about authentic masculinity and femininity. Matthew, welcome back to Register Radio.
Oh, I'm so pleased to be here.
Matthew, I know that you were on with Dan Burke not too long ago. I think it was in November when you first joined us on Register Radio. I wasn't here that time, so I'm happy to be talking to you today. And we're talking about this thing you call a man crisis in the church. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Oh, sure. We have a severe Catholic man crisis. It's widespread across the United States. About one in three Catholic men that were baptized in the faith have left the faith, and the majority of men that remain in the faith through various statistical studies and so forth that we've done are lukewarm. They don't really know the faith, they don't practice the faith, and they're not committed to pass the faith along to their children. This is a severe crisis, for it'll affect not only the future of marriage and family, but the future of the church in the United States.
And for how long have you been working to combat this particular problem in our church?
Well, it's been a growing process over the last 5 years or so. I became active in men's evangelization through some work in the Archdiocese of Minneapolis and St. Paul. But in 2013, I launched the New Emangelization Project, and the focus of it is to confront the Catholic man crisis. Develop solutions in terms of the things that we can do to evangelize and catechize men, and to really light men on fire for Jesus Christ and Holy Mother Church.
That's great.
Since that time, there's a lot of things that have happened. We've assembled a pretty extensive fact base that documents the man crisis. I've conducted dozens, I think I'm approaching 70 interviews at this point with leading men's evangelists across the country. And then we've also fielded recently a survey in which 2,000 men participated on kind of the nature of how priests are evangelizing men and what can be done to help them.
That's right. Now, one of your goals is to provide kind of research, this kind of thing, the survey. But another thing is to provide content, and that's where these interviews come in. And one of your recent interviews was with Cardinal Raymond Burke. And that interview went viral, really. Tell us a little bit about what Cardinal Burke had to say.
Well, you're absolutely right. It didn't go viral. It's been in all the major, many of the major secular media outlets, and also all the major Catholic ones. Cardinal Burke, we had a chance to sit down with him and ask him about the man crisis. And he responded, and these are the three big ideas. First of all, he concurs and believes there's a serious man crisis in the church. Secondly, he believes that crisis is driven by a complex set of things that includes not only cultural things. He specifically calls out radical feminism, and I think we'll come back to that, sexualization of the culture, but also things within the church that the church is failing to do, to emphasize and to reach out and teach men. And the third part of the interview really was the things that we need to do as men and as men of the church to begin to reverse this crisis.
Right. Now, what launched this into the secular media? What did they pick up on?
Well, they definitely picked up on the radical feminism right. comment. And I can tell you, I looked at literally hundreds of reports, and I can tell you with clarity that what's happened is much of it's been distorted. There's been a profound yeah. lack of charity and a lack of reason. Ironically, the thing that's drawing so much attention to the man crisis is the reaction from radical feminists, which also ironically proves the Cardinal's point that mm-hmm. radical feminism can be quite coercive.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio, and I'm speaking to Matthew Kristoff, and we are talking about evangelizing to men, particularly talking about an interview that Matthew did with Cardinal Raymond Burke. Now, in talking about his, Cardinal Burke's, discussion on radical feminism, it's really interesting that it's blown up the way that it has, because that's not a new conversation. I mean, Pope John Paul II spoke a lot about women and femininity and the fact that some of the ways that feminism has characterized women is really a disservice to what is authentic femininity. So it's really surprising that to me that Cardinal Burke's comments just blew up the way they did. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it is true. You know, the church has taught that radical feminism, and you know, the important thing here, it's not legitimate issues and the lifting up of women that Cardinal Burke is talking about at all. He's talking about when feminism, or any other thing, but in this case radical feminism, becomes exclusivist, focusing on its own goals and end without taking into consideration men and children in this case.
Sure.
You know, Pope Francis just talked about the importance of women and listening to women when he was in the Philippines, and for men to, you know, cut down on the machismo. You know what? We're never going to get to that goal unless we listen to the kinds of things that Cardinal Burke is saying. Because men, if they're not evangelized and catechized, they're not going to change how they treat women.
Sure.
We've got to be able to do both things. And I can assure you the work that we're doing with the new evangelization, there's no talk about denigrating women or, you know, men being somehow domineering. The focus is on kind of being priest, prophet, and king in a spirit of St. Joseph, which is humble, sacrificial, willing to lay down his life and men's lives for our women and for our children and for the church and for society.
You know, this whole conversation about machismo and you know, needing to lift up women, I understand it really well. You know, my husband is from Peru, and there's a different culture there, and there is a lot of machismo, much more than I've ever witnessed here in the U.S. And there was a real need, I remember when we first started dating, to talk about the role of men and women and to talk about the ways that we complemented one another and to really help each other to understand the best of our masculinity, of his masculinity, of my femininity, and to really come to new understandings of what that meant. And it was really a beautiful growth, I think, on both of our parts. And my husband is very active in the church, and he is active, I would say, in a different way than I am. He prays in a different way than I do. And it's beautiful, and I think we can complement one another. Can you speak a little bit to the complementarity that exists between men and women, especially in the church?
Oh, you bet. I mean, I can speak a little bit about it. I can. Really interesting in these interviews that I'm doing. I'm having a chance to talk to a wide range of people, including a growing list of women. And one of the women is a woman named Dr. Deborah Savage, who is speaking about the masculine genius. You know, we've heard about the feminine genius. She's talking about the masculine genius. And both the feminine and the masculine genius are rooted in Genesis from her perspective. You know, men tend to be exterior focused. You know, God gives men the chance to go out and survey the landscape and name the animals and, you know, very kind of outward focus. And women tend to be more relational and inward focused to children, you know, obviously. The child is born inside the woman, as well as that relationship with a man. This is not an exhaustive description of the differences, but there are differences, right?
Right.
And, to the extent that we can only, you know, it's like breathing on one lung. You know, if only breathing with a very feminine lung, we're not going to be fully inspired, and nor the man side. This idea of what authentic Catholic femininity is and authentic Catholic masculinity, I think, is at the core of our challenge in the church today. If we get that right, we're going to see men and women respecting each other, being complementary, forming marriages, having children, growing the church. And if we get into these battles between the genders like we're seeing in so much of the secular world, you know, you can't have a war on women unless there's an enemy. And that enemy is not going to be women, it's going to be men. So this kind of language and stuff, we've got to get past it in the church.
Right.
And address when somebody like as preeminent and as such a great, I believe, a great soul like Cardinal Burke is saying things, we shouldn't just discount it based on a bias that we might have. We need to look at it with charity and reason. And that's true of any of our people that are speaking out and trying to lead us to closer to Jesus and to grow the church.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Matthew Kristoff, and we're talking about evangelizing to men. Matthew runs a ministry to men, and I'd like for him to tell you a little bit about where you can find your ministry. Matthew, can you talk about where people can go to look at these interviews?
Sure. It's the new Evangelization Project, and it's at newevangelization.com. It's like evangelization with an M. The reason we picked that was because, you know, if we wish to have a new evangelization, there must be a new evangelization. We need to evangelize men.
And that's great. And our listeners can always go to ncregister.com to look at the show notes and take a look at the website there, as well as a summary of this conversation. But you talked about something earlier in the show, the survey that you did that related to priests. What was it that you were measuring? And we've just got a few seconds left here, but I'd like to know how priests fit into this picture.
Oh, absolutely. Priests are absolutely foundational to addressing the man crisis, because we need our priests to evangelize men. The survey is called Helping Priests Become More Effective in Evangelizing Men. It was fielded several months ago. We had 2,000 men respond. It was a fairly odious survey in terms of length, but the results are pretty fascinating. And actually, I think it's over 1,600 comments were included, which give a kind of a very rich reaction to the issue of how priests can help. And the short story is that our priests are not evangelizing men systematically or broadly. Very few priests are actually doing it. The good news is that when a priest makes the evangelization of men a priority, men go to Mass more, they pray more, they go to confession more, and they have more and deeper male friendships in their parishes.
That's
so there's
great.
Huge good news there. The issue is we just got to get it out there.
Excellent. Well, I hope this helps to get that out there, because that is very good news. Matthew, thanks so much for being with us, and we hope to talk again sometime.
Thank you, and may God bless you.
When we return, we'll talk with Dr. Peter Kraft. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
I'm Brian Patrick, and here at EWTN News Nightly, we're very much aware our world is changing rapidly. The news can be so troubling, but it helps to get it in the context of Catholic teaching. That's why I encourage you to watch EWTN News Nightly and to subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register. Always faithful, in-depth coverage of crucial issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of all human life, traditional marriage, and Pope Francis, his travels, his powerful homilies, and great features like one of my favorites on St. Joseph, provider and protector. Subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register and watch EWTN News Nightly, the perfect combination for faithful Catholics who want the news, who want the truth.
For a free 3-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, Go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 3 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Dr. Peter Kraft, is a professor of philosophy at Boston College and the King's College. He is the author of numerous books, as well as a popular writer of Christian philosophy, theology, and apologetics. He also formulated, together with Father Ronald Tocelli, 20 arguments for the existence of God. Today, Dan Burke will be talking with Dr. Kraft about his new book on St. Thomas Aquinas, Practical Theology. Dr. Kraft, thanks for joining us on Register Radio.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
Dr. Kraft, it's a great pleasure and privilege to have you on the show. I'm a convert from Protestantism to Catholicism, and I remember working in a Protestant bookstore before I converted and seeing your books and being very interested in your perspective, and then having had the great blessing of speaking with you personally at several of your events. So it's great to have you with us on Register Radio to talk about your latest book, which I'm very excited about. The title is a bit long, but I think it's worth giving. It's called Practical Theology, 350 Plus Ways Your Mind Can Help You Become a Saint, and then Spiritual Direction from St. Thomas Aquinas. Dr. Kraft, tell me what was behind the compilation of this book, because it's no small work. It was a big effort. What motivated you to bring it to print?
Well, it's a big effort because it's from a much bigger effort, Aquinas' 4,000-page long Summa Theologica. And what motivated it was justice. I think people have not done justice to Aquinas' practical dimension. Most of the books on Aquinas are about Aquinas as a philosopher or a theologian in a theoretical dimension. He certainly is one of the most brilliant, if not the most brilliant, mind in history. But he's also wonderfully practical, and I found in my own experience that browsing through the Summa gave me gems for my own spiritual life. So I wanted to share these gems with the public.
Just so that folks aren't scared away by this idea that it might be a more of a theoretical work of theology, when you say practical, what you're saying is that you've laid this book out in such a way, topically, that allows for someone to use it as a kind of reference with respect to fundamental questions they might have moral or spiritual dimensions. Is that the way?
Yes, it's practical because it's user-friendly, and it's practical because it works, and it's practical because it's about lived practice, not just thought theory.
Now, you said something in the introduction that fascinated me originally when Ignatius said that this book was coming out. It says that your principle for choosing which passages to use was based on this question: do they help you to attain your ultimate end, i.e. sanctity, happiness, and union with God? How is it that this wisdom from St. Thomas helps us to attain to union with God?
Well, the answer to that question is very simple. Aquinas is a very simple thinker, a very clear thinker, and a very one-directional thinker. And that was what they were for Aquinas. That was the thing that motivated everything Aquinas did. His life had that unity. Not only theoretically, everything came from God and ended in God, but practically.
And how is it that this kind of wisdom, from the standpoint of the human person, how is it that this kind of wisdom affects the person to grow in holiness?
Because everything in our lives comes from us, and within us, everything that happens to our body comes from our soul, and within our soul, everything starts with the mind. The will is equally important, and the emotions are terribly important, but it all starts with the mind. You can't love or fear or have any other attitude to something that doesn't appear at all in the mind. So it all begins with the mind. Buddha, when he wrote the Dhammapada, which is the most popular of all the Buddhist texts, began with this sentence: everything that we are depends on our thoughts. It begins where our thoughts begin. It moves where our thoughts move. It ends where our thoughts end.
And so it is, from the standpoint of Aquinas, from the standpoint of what you're trying to help those of us who seek to grow in our faith understand, is that Is it as simple as right thinking leads us to God?
Yes, but right thinking doesn't mean just correct thinking. It means true thinking. It means profound thinking. It means rightly directed thinking. It means, above all, understanding. Most of my excerpts are about familiar things that we've thought about before, but Aquinas has such a penetrating mind and such a clear mind that he sees more deeply into these things so that we can appreciate them more and love them more and live them out more.
Dr. Kraft, in all of your work with Aquinas' wisdom, is there any particular aspect that helped your growth, your own spiritual growth, in an unusual way or in a more powerful way that stands out to you?
Well, compared with most other philosophers and theologians, I would pick common sense. Aquinas says things that you don't expect a great theologian to say. For instance, example, he asks why God often deliberately refuses to give us grace to overcome our sins. And he says, well, it's the same as a doctor who wants to cure a deadly disease, and for that purpose he tolerates the symptoms of a lesser disease, which would get in the way of curing the more serious disease if he did. And the most serious of all spiritual diseases is pride. So if God let us conquer our more obvious sins, we'd probably succumb to a more serious sin, become Pharisees.
Fascinating. Fascinating. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're talking with Dr. Peter Kraft about his new book, Practical Theology. You'll be able to find more about the book on Register's site, ncregister.com. There's going to be a great review up there, as well as a link to this great text, 350 Ways Your Mind Can Help You Become a Saint, Spiritual Direction from St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, the book is laid out in an important structure. You reference theology, morality, public liturgy, private prayer, that sort of thing. So could you talk to us a little bit about these big buckets and what you were aiming at in the way you organize the text?
Well, I organize it in a very simple way. The Summa itself is organized in a very complex way, the way that the universe is organized. God is the first cause, and then the act of creation, and then the order that God created, and man's place in that order, and a philosophy of man, and man's final end, and the means to man's final end, and Christ and the Church as they are man's means to his final end. That's how the Summa flows. And all I did is go through the whole Summa. Actually, I read all 4,000 pages of it for the first time in my life. I ordered them in that same chronological way. I didn't outline them in any special way, and they're little excerpts. Each one takes a page or so, so you can read it by a little trip to the toilet. It's good bathroom reading. So it's not a complicated outline.
Good bathroom reading. I just can't see reading this text in the bathroom. I think it's, there are great texts read in the bathroom, and this is a great text, but...
I guarantee you there are great texts read in the bathroom. I read many of them myself.
I actually think if I were going to say to someone, how should I read this book? Honestly, I would say read it in adoration. In the text, the way you have it laid out is you have Aquinas' words in bold, and then your goal then is to just make sure there's sufficient clarity about the wisdom that he was bringing. But
that's a very good suggestion that you make, because there's all sorts of things that would improve in our lives enormously if we did them in front of the Eucharist.
No doubt. And, of course, this being wisdom that I think led St. Thomas himself to the heights of contemplation, certainly if we're looking to grow spiritually and really come closer to God, getting our minds properly oriented to the truths presented herein will no doubt get us along that path in a great measure.
Because the truth is a person. And when you're in Eucharistic adoration, you're in relationship not just to the truth in an abstract sense, but in the most concrete possible way.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Kraft, if you wouldn't mind, what are a few of your favorite excerpts and few examples that our readers can get a sense for what they'd find here?
Well, one of them, to show how practical he was, would be his cure for depression. his word for it is something like overmastering sadness. He says, begin with a glass of wine, a hot bath, and a good night's sleep. Another very practical point would be, especially applicable to our age and our culture, why is it that sex addiction is so common? And his answer is, man cannot live without joy. Therefore, one deprived of true spiritual joys necessarily goes over into carnal pleasures.
Fascinating. Dr. Kraft, as far as the target audience or the folks that you think might be most interested in this text or that would really find a great benefit in it, what are your thoughts there?
Well, it's not an ordinary demographic. The book is targeted to anyone who wants to become a saint. Because if your will is set on a certain end, then you're interested in a most effective means to that end. And that's what determined my selection of these passages.
Of the text, right. You said, to help to attain your ultimate end, sanctity, happiness, and union with God. Well, it's a fantastic work. I really think that I'm going to be pouring through it for years because, of course, the depth of the wisdom, although it's very practical.
But that's not because of me. That's because of Thomas Aquinas. Half of the words in it, the ones in boldface type, are quotations from Aquinas, and all I do is explain and comment on them. A medieval cliche to say we are dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants. If we see more things than our ancestors, it's only because we have the wisdom and humility first to climb up on their shoulders, and Aquinas is a giant.
Well, that's a great place to leave our interview. I am grateful to you for all your work in helping us bring some of the greatest wisdom of the church into a practical framework that anyone can have access to. Thank you so much for being with us here on Register Radio.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless.
Thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.